The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If you, then, are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. We heard these words of Jesus last week in the gospel reading. The parable of the rich fool followed after them, and then Jesus ended that story with God saying to the rich man, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So Jesus had concluded, is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The very next verse was the beginning of today's text. What has taken a week for us followed immediately for Jesus' disciples. In summary of the parable of the rich fool and its attendant warnings, Jesus then continued, Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. What is life? It is a gift from God. You received life without any cooperation on your part. It came from outside of you, by God's creative power working through the miracle of procreation. You cannot preserve your life, can't even extend it by a few moments through worrying or being anxious. God's power alone sustains and preserves your life. So that if God has given you life, and life is far more, far greater than mere food and clothing, what sense is there in worrying about such things? Imagine a man who spent $65,000 or $70,000 on a car. Bought it for cash. Do you think that it's at all likely that he would refuse them to pay the relatively smaller sums it takes to refuel it and to change the oil? Of course not. That's the way it is with God as well. He gave you life and invested himself fully in redeeming you.
It only makes sense, then, that he'll provide those little things, food, clothing, that are necessary to preserve your life. As he continues, Jesus calls our attention to a couple of guest preachers, Mr. Raven and Mr. Lily. Our translation has Jesus saying, "Consider the ravens and the lilies." But the word he uses here is a little bit stronger than consider. The consideration of which he speaks using this word involves diligent and accurate study. So what's the message Mr. Raven delivers, to which Jesus would have us give careful attention? Mr. Raven preaches, "Shame on you. Look at me and my fellow ravens. We don't plant anything. We don't harvest at all. Unlike that rich fool you heard about last week, we don't have storehouses or barns, neither old and small, nor enormous and brand spanking new. But look at us. We don't lack for food. Each day God gives us our daily bread. Each day, everything that we need. And remember, we're just wild birds. Do you really think that God won't take care of you, whom he made as the crown of his creation, just a little lower than the heavenly beings, crowned with glory and honor, to whom he gave dominion over us and all of the works of his hands? Have you never heard the words of the psalmist? I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread." That's Mr. Raven's sermon. Mr. Lily's begins the same way. "Shame on you," he says. "How can you worry about what you will wear? Look at me. Look how I grow. I don't toil. I don't make thread or weave fine fabric. I don't buy from the designers who make clothes for the rich and famous. But look at me. Even Solomon in all his glory, vaunted for his wealth and the luxury in which he lived, couldn't hold a candle to me when it comes to splendor of appearance. And as for me, I'm here today and gone tomorrow. If God provides such splendid clothing for me in the few days that I live, how is it that you don't trust him to clothe you, to whom he gives not mere days, but 70 or 80 years? Of how much more value are you than the birds," Jesus says. "And if he gives the fragile flowers their resplendent beauty, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith?" Jesus would have us understand that worrying, being anxious, is sin. I suppose little faith is better than no faith at all. But being anxious and worried about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear is the result of failing to take God at his word. Failing to believe that what he says is true. Failing to trust that he not only knows what you need, but is also eager and committed to providing it. You have all the evidence of God's love that you need. The witness of the ravens and the lilies. His faithfulness to Abraham and his descendants. And as if this were not enough, you have his son, given to the world, given into death for you and for me. As St. Paul writes, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" But perversely, in the face of all of this evidence, worry and anxiety persist. Particularly, perhaps, when inflation and recession rear their ugly heads. Surely you and I have earned the rebuke, O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that I have done and promised. Foolish and of little faith, how well that describes us, who are so often anxious and troubled about many things, when only one thing is necessary. Little faith is the problem. It's the reason that you are anxious and troubled about food and clothing and so many other things that merely support this earthly body and life. The whole world, all nations, pursue these things with a passion. God knows what you require. You don't need to chase after them. There's only really one thing you ought to be seeking. One thing that is ultimately of importance. And that, Jesus says, is the kingdom of God. Well, then the question should come up, well, how do we seek after it? Before any of the disciples could ask the question, Jesus provides them an answer. Fear not, little flock. Stop being afraid. Why? Because it's your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. Don't be anxious about the kingdom. Purely out of His goodwill toward you, your Father is giving the kingdom to you. Indeed, He has given it to you. It's a done deal. The only thing which could separate you from the kingdom, which could take you out of it, which could keep you away, is your sin. But the Father has taken care of that. In His good pleasure, He sent His Son as your substitute, to live a life of perfect love and trust in His Father. Without any sinful anxiety regarding his life, what he would eat or what he would wear or where he would sleep. And when he had fulfilled all righteousness for you by his life of perfect obedience, then he suffered the punishment your sin deserves. For you, he hung naked and thirsty on a cross. For you, he breathed his last and gave up his life. Even in death, trusting his Father. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, he prayed. For you, so that you could live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. He did it all for you. Believe it. He paid the price in full. The kingdom is yours. To know this, to be confident that God is your loving Father and in His good pleasure, solely because of His love, He has accomplished for you the salvation He planned since the beginning of the world. To know this and to cling to this promise is to have the treasure of heaven. And when your heart is attached to God in gratitude and trust, when it hungers and thirsts for His righteousness, which is yours by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, then of all of these other things, food and clothing and possessions, they're no longer treasure. What they are is tools. Tools to supply your bodily needs. Tools to help your neighbor in his need. Tools you can use to reflect God's love. And so rather than gather for yourself and hoard, you can use the possessions God has entrusted to you. Put them to work, to His glory and your neighbor's good. Life does not consist in the abundance of our possessions, Jesus says. For life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Your Father knows that you need these things. But seek His kingdom, and these things will all be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. and indeed, the kingdom is yours for Jesus' sake. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.